between the life we see and the world we dream, there are stories when they are told. Nightmares become imagination. So please.
Thomas, you aren't.
Hello to the guild. Are you ready to commune with your ancestors today? Welcome to the Dim Light Anxiety Podcast. I am your host, Giggles, and I have little Giggles watching over us on the mantle, and my black cat by my side. Feliz Dia de los Muertos, a chance to reconnect with our ancestors, which makes today's story perfect. It's learning about the past through your late family members, how diving into the past might save you. And might scar you. But we'll get to that later. Okay, you guys heard my story from yesterday, and I thought, you know, I wasn't going to have anything to talk to about in the intro today, so, you know, since two episodes were so close together. However, I shit you not, I heard a scream last night and just froze. I did not investigate because Horror Movie 101 states that's exactly how the worst case happens. I did, however, make sure the toilet bowl was covered, just in case, and used a curtain rod to open it each time. I still don't know where the screen came from. There was no one dead outside, so I'm hoping all good. Eek. Okay. I'm totally not doing it now. I'm using the curtain rod, that is, I swear. Definitely not doing it still. Nope. Over it. I hope Halloween inspired some of your nightmares into terror tales, because from campy to that pumpkin has real eyeballs. Scary. I went to hear them all. For your fucked up brains came up with them. So, what's your story? Send a copy to dimlightanxiety@gmail.com and see if your story has a chance to be performed on this episode. Oh, not episode, because this episode already has a story. This podcast. Okay. Let's get ready for today's story by first introducing the author of our nightmares this week. This fabulous writer is on Reddit under the username Logan966. They have been on here before, so check out their previous story or see if you can even find it. Oh, by the way, I have not seen anything come out of the toilet besides water yet. So far, so good. There's so much you can find while cleaning out your parents' house. And sometimes, the most important things come in the most basic packages. Submitted for the approval of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety, I call this story The Tale of the Box of Letters. Titled, I Found a Box of Letters in My Dead Parents' Home. Everyone in Birmingham is haunted by something. I wouldn't know after living here for 30-something years. For years now, I've wondered if I should leave this place for good and start a life somewhere else, or if I should just try to put my life back together here. It seemed so much easier to start a new life where no one else knows you, but I never wanted to leave my parents behind. As they grew older and older, I found myself more and more reluctant to leave. But now that doesn't matter. They're dead. They didn't die from health complications. In fact, they were in great shape for people in their 60s. They were driving cross-country when they got into a terrible accident. The worst part was going down to the morgue and seeing their cold, lifeless bodies. I fell apart then and there. That night I didn't eat or sleep. 2 weeks later, I held a small funeral. I was the only one there. As the only living relative left, it was my responsibility to clean up my parents' house and prepare it for market. I knew this wasn't going to be an easy task. As I pulled into the driveway, the house stood before me, a poor copy of what it used to be. What once was a lush, well-kept lawn was now overgrown with dry, yellow grass. The house and garage across from it were thankfully made of brick. Who knows what shape they would be in if they weren't? Brush was always piled into the old, rusty dog cage across from the garage. As I walked up the path, childhood memories flashed through my mind. Dad tossing the ball to me when I was 10, Mom helping me walk the dog around the house when I was 12. The memories quickly faded away, and reality sunk in. I'd never be able to make new memories with them. My knees buckled from beneath me, and I fell to the ground. I let out a loud sob. My parents were gone forever. Nothing I did would ever change that. Wiping the tears from my face, I tried to follow the breathing exercises my new therapist taught me. I took a few deep breaths and counted to 10, and once I calmed down, I stood back up. I unlocked the front door and took another deep breath as I entered the house. The inside of the house didn't look abandoned. For a moment, it felt like Mom and Dad were still in their bedroom, as if nothing had changed. It was almost like being inside of one of those Chernobyl houses. Everything in the house looked the same as it did when it was abandoned. Canned and boxed food still sat in the cabinets. There was a smell of rot coming from the refrigerator, accompanying the house's strong scent of mold and mildew. I held my breath and, stepping around the mouse droppings, I trudged forward to the bedrooms and looked for my parents' financial information. After a few minutes of rummaging through the drawers, I found the paperwork I needed. But I also found a box. Inside of it were letters written by people I didn't recognize. Curious, I began to read through them. November 14th, 1989.
Dear Uncle Tony, happy birthday. Love is not something you can see. Love is something you feel deep in your heart. I love you. Love, Lorraine.
Lorraine? The letter is addressing my father, but he and my mother didn't have any siblings. Even if he had a falling out and decided he didn't want anything to do with his family, why would he lie to me?
November 21st, 1989. Dear Uncle Tony, I really like staying over and spending time with you and Aunt Pam. I love staying up past my bedtime to watch cartoons and eat chocolate chip cookies. At bedtime, I heard someone whispering my name from under my bed. I was scared, but I peeked over the side of my bed, and my daddy's head popped out from underneath. I haven't seen him since he and Mommy got divorced. I was so happy to see him. Then he asked me to go under the bed with him. His voice was deeper. There was something wrong with his eyes. They were all black. I told him no, and I rolled back over. I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night. Lorraine.
Really strange. This probably was just a dream she had. When I was younger, I had a similar dream about my parents being under my bed. It probably felt so real to her that she believed it actually happened. November 28th, 1989.
Dear Uncle Tony, I had lots of fun building snow forts with you and Aunt Pam last weekend. I had more fun when I caught you both by surprise and nailed you with snowballs. It was fun until bedtime. When the thing that looked like my daddy called my name again. I told him I wasn't going to go under the bed with him, and I knew he wasn't my daddy. The thing got really mad at me. It grabbed my foot that was hanging off the edge of the bed, and it scratched it. I wanted to run away, but I was afraid that whatever was under my bed would come from underneath and get me. Lorraine.
December 4th, 1989.
To Tony. I'm always happy to let Lorraine spend the weekend over at your house. Your family, after all. I want her to know her aunt and uncle. You and Pam have really been there for Lorraine and I ever since Rick abandoned us a few years ago. But Lorraine came home Sunday with a scratch on her foot. Please, keep better eye on her while she's playing. Susan.
This mom either doesn't listen or has no idea what her daughter is going through. It's a good thing Mom and Dad were there to help her. I had a friend who was raised by a single mother. Life was hard for them, too.
December 8th, 1989. Dear Uncle Tony, I'm really looking forward to spending Christmas with you. Thank you for buying me a Barbie. I love her so much. I was having a lot of fun until the monster under my bed started talking to me again. He promised not to hurt me again. He told me if I went under the bed with him, I could have all the cookies I wanted. He even held one out for me to take from him. I know it was dumb, but I was hungry and I reached for it. But when I did, he grabbed my wrist. I was able to pull back, but he scratched me again. And it really hurt this time. Lorraine.
December 18th, 1989.
Dear Pam, for whatever reason, Tony hasn't bothered to listen to me. I'm looking forward to having Christmas with you, but Lorraine got a big scratch on her wrist. How is she getting hurt so much?
Susan. January 1st, 1990. Dear Pam, I really appreciate you and Tony having us over for the holidays. There's something really odd happening when I was there. Lorraine woke me up in the middle of the night. She was crying and telling me that someone was under her bed. I walked into the room she was staying in, and there was nothing there. She had fresh scratches on her. What is going on? Clearly, I have not been listened to. I do not think I can allow her to come over to your house if you continue to ignore my requests. I'll give you both one more chance. I do not like having to do this, but if you force my hand, I will do what I feel is best. Susan. January 4th, 1990.
Dear Uncle Tony, I really enjoyed seeing you and Aunt Pam, but I don't know if I want to come over anymore. I appreciate you letting me sleep in your bed last time, but I'm not safe even with you and Aunt Pam. I could hear the monster calling my name from my bedroom. Lorraine.
January 7th, 1990.
Dear Tony and Pam, I cannot allow a Lorraine at your house. When she got home from her last visit, she said she never wanted to go back and wouldn't stop crying. I don't know what happened, but she's not going to your home anymore. I'm furious that my rules were not obeyed. How dare you undermine me? I think you know how Lorraine got hurt too. But I'm starting to think it wasn't just an accident due to your negligence. Susan.
February 1st, 1990.
Dear Tony and Pam, how dare you try and play the victim? You want me to reconsider? No way! If you guys didn't hurt Lorraine, then how come you can't at the very least admit both of you are negligent caretakers? How dare you throw in my face all the things you did for Lorraine financially, emotionally, or otherwise? Don't try to spin me a sob story. Lorraine is the daughter I'll never have. Cry me a river. Also, never throw my condition in my face again. I've been just fine mentally, and I've been taking my medicine. My illness has nothing to do with the decision I'm making. I laughed when I read the part of your letter when you mentioned you were afraid for the child's well-being because I'm unwell. Don't ever threaten me. You'll never see Lorraine again. Or me, as long as you live. Susan.
You could tell she signed her name in anger on that last letter. It was barely legible. Before I was able to put everything away, I heard my parents calling my name down the hallway. I followed it to the bedroom. The door creaked loudly as I opened it. Voices called again. I entered the room. The door slammed shut behind me. It was probably the wind. Cold, stale air nipped at my face. The bedroom looked like it hadn't been touched in over 30 years. I remembered my parents said it was a guest bedroom, but we never had any guests. The walls were painted pink and the bedspread was littered with bug carcasses and a few mouse carcasses as well. The room, the whole room, smelt so
strongly of death and decay. I could taste it. Hello? I called out.
Under here. The voice was coming from under the bed.
Dread filled my entire being. There had to be a reasonable, logical explanation. I haven't been sleeping or eating much. Maybe it was my mind playing tricks on me. I knew I shouldn't have, but I crouched down to see under the bed. I had to do it. I needed to see who was calling my name. I peeked under the bed, expecting to see the faces of some unworldly monster. But instead, I saw the faces of my mother and father. My father's old, wrinkled face was stretched into an unnatural smile, and his eyes were black and void of all emotion in life. Long, white, wispy hair hung over his face. My mother's appearance was nearly identical to Dad's. Her wrinkled face stretched into a smile, her eyes all black and her hair hanging over her face. You're both dead. I buried you. This isn't real. You're not real, I screamed. My heart pounded rapidly as I backed away from them.
We're real, and we've come to see you,
they replied eerily in unison. There was a hope for a minute. Maybe my parents were still alive, and the trip to the morgue along with the funeral were all part of a terrible dream that I've woken up from. Perhaps there was a chance that I had my parents back. I gazed into their strange, smiling faces. I realized that there was hardly any mirth in their smiles. These weren't happy smiles. They were deceptive, designed to get me to let my guard down. The imposters looked hungry and ready to pounce. I knew these were not my parents. I dropped to my knees and clasped my hands around my head. Tears streamed down my face. This can't be real. I did the only thing that I could think of. I got up and ran to the door. The doorknob wouldn't turn. I kicked the door and threw myself against it, but it wouldn't budge. They crawled out from under the bed and seized my ankles, pulling them out from underneath me, sending my face crashing down to the floor. The cold, hard floor. They continued to pull me towards an endless abyss.
If you don't come with us, we'll come to you.
I tried to sink my nails into the floorboards. No! Their grip was inhumanly tight. As they dragged me, my nails left trails in the wood. Their nails sank into my ankles, drawing blood. Hot, searing pain filled the bottom half of my body. Please let me go. My plea was only met with cruel laughter. They were enjoying this.
Please let me go,
Mom mocked. Don't waste your tears, son. There will be plenty of time for tears. Soon enough, Dad said. I made another attempt to pull my feet loose, and their grip loosened as my ankles grew more and more slick with blood. No way. How fucked up is that?
I know today is meant to celebrate and reconnect with your past loved ones, but... And I'm not 100% on this. I'm pretty sure that's not how you're supposed to do it. Like, so terrifying, oh my gosh. It seems scary as an adult. I couldn't imagine trying to battle that as a child. Such a well-crafted story. I loved how it was told through letters. It seemed more mysterious. Well, you heard it too. Was it scary enough? Or better question, can you do better? Can you scare the laughter out of me? Now for the details. Today we are just going to get to the point. So if you enjoyed the episode, give it a like, review, subscribe, 5-star review, whatever your platform allows, because our author you can find on Reddit under the username Logan966 deserves props. Check out the website for more information on the guild. It's just the name of the podcast with a .com at the end. That's dimlightanxiety.com. Our writing prompt for today is, she approached the tattoo parlor with confidence. They had several meetings leading up to today. Once settled in the chair, the artist pulled a needle far too long for what they discussed. Use those sentences in your story or use them just for inspiration, then send that story to me so I can get a kick out of them and possibly bring them to life. I'm dying to know what they discussed and what ends up happening. Is this a run-of-the-mill tattoo parlor, or do they perform special requests? It's your decision. Let your nightmare run away with you. After all, nightmares are a terrible thing to waste. I think that's it. I think I was able to effectively reduce the length of that segment this time. I hope I didn't forget anything. Well, here's what you've been dying for. The ending! Did he make it out? Or did they pull him back in? Enjoy, if you dare. I moved and jerked, getting more and more control with each try. I pulled my left foot and finally slipped from my mom's grasp. She looked at her blood-stained hands in disbelief. And then I freed my right foot. Before they could grab me again, I kicked both of them in the face, my ankles burning. I struggled to get to my feet. I charged the door with my shoulder lowered. The door gave way on impact, falling off its hinges. Dull, agonizing pain traveled up and down my shoulder, but I ignored it. I rushed down the hallway and threw the front door open. "Come back!" they screamed. "Fuck you, you're not my parents!" I screamed back. Before I slammed the door shut, a horrible growl filled the house. The house shook as if there was an earthquake. I slammed the door shut and sprinted to my car. I sped off, gunning it down the street with no care for what the speed limit was. I don't know what that thing under the bed was. And sadly, I'll never know what happened to my cousin Lorraine. Or my Aunt Susan. I haven't been to my parents' house since, and I refuse to go back there alone. The thing that bothers me the most is that the next owner doesn't know what they're in for. I could have had the house demolished, but my gut tells me, house or no house, that thing will still be there, no matter what. I declare this meeting of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety closed. I hope you don't find any hidden boxes of letters. Or maybe I do. Until next week, creep it real.
'This podcast does not condone any physical harm on yourself or others. These are fictional stories intended only for entertainment.